at this moment, it gives me absolute great pleasure to introduce two people that we all know and love. So, Chambra, if you would, all over the world, let's open our hearts and give a heartfelt welcome to Jeff and Linda Hoppe.
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, wow, thank you. That applause sign is working today.
They were hugging.
Yes.
They were making out over there somewhere.
They were making out. Well, David got,
everybody
warmed up today. Thank you, David. Thank you. And it is a beautiful day here in Coal Creek Canyon.
We'll just have to send you to Israel more often.
Yeah. But, you know, Linda, David, myself, Norma, and Garrett just got back from an incredible trip to Israel, and Tobias. Sorry, Tobias. An incredible trip to Israel. We got back on, Linda and I got back Tuesday. David got back Wednesday.
I haven't had a good night's sleep since.
Oh, I know. I know the jet lag or the energy or whatever has just been phenomenal. We have some slides today. Do you ever get invited over to somebody's house and it's like, here's the shots of our trip to Disney World, and it's like, you have permission to go to sleep during the slideshow, but anyway, it was incredible. Feels good to be back home, though.
Really good to
really
be home.
Good.
It's a special place, a special audience
home
always.
Here, you know, to the homeroom, to the canyon. Even with the snow on the ground today and the fog outside, it's kind of a magical day. I keep wondering if the heavy snow on the power lines is going to cut the power out. But, John, you're ready for that, aren't you? Yeah, John's like, live in the now. Or as David called it, I like this word.
Look who's making a grand entrance.
Well, we don't want to focus attention here, but look at those flowers. And look at Norma and Garrett walking in the door like on cue.
Right up here.
For those listening in today, Norma, Garrett just came in, and a beautiful bouquet of spring flowers, even though it's the middle of winter here.
Ooh.
Yellow roses.
Now the room is complete.
We just got back from Israel, Norma and Garrett, and you guys just came in. Have you gotten any sleep this week? Yeah. Right. So we've all been up at 2 in the morning. This morning we slept in a little bit later.
Sort of.
But anyway, it does. It feels really good to be back here in the canyon. Tobias said that we have a lot of new people listening in today. So to all those who are listening in for the first time, this isn't normally the way we are. please stay tuned. It'll get better.
A little punchy?
Yeah. For those listening in for the very first time today, this is the Crimson Circle, Radio Free Tobias. We're webcasting from Coal Creek Canyon, Colorado. It's, like David said, at about 8,000 feet or about 2,721 meters. You like that? I made that up. It's close, though, right?
Jeff,
it's close. What?
You're a channeler. You need to avoid that.
But it's very close. If somebody puts a calculator to it, they'd be surprised. We do this once a month on the first Saturday. As David mentioned, Linda and I talk for a little bit about what's been happening around Chambra World. And we do a Tobias channel. So if you're listening in, you got to wait about an hour and 10 minutes for the channel. And then after that is the question and answer. So we're glad that you're all here today. The energy in the room today is, did you notice that it's different or it's us?
No, it's
we're
more.
We're so tired.
All kinds of stuff. It's more than different. And I've been noticing this more anyways.
Yes.
There are really special people that we just count on seeing your faces, and they're sitting there.
Yes.
And there's all kinds of people that are missing.
Energy holders.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of people missing.
Yes.
And I won't say names.
Yes.
And then there are all kinds. This is, to me, looks like one of the biggest groups of people where you either haven't been here for a long time, you've missed several meetings, which is okay, or it's the first time you've ever been to Live in the Canyon. How many of you have been away for a while, or it's the first time
ever here.
See, I told you.
I would say about a third of the room.
Yeah.
Brand new. How many have never, ever been to a live channel? Wow.
About, oh, I saw a couple drag-along hands go up.
Yeah, yeah. Didn't want to be here. She made
doing
me drive.
Doing a favor to somebody.
She,
yeah, yeah.
She made me drive today.
She said she made me dinner tonight, yeah.
Well, we have a, we have also a lot of people from out of town, from out of the country.
Yeah.
Would you like to go through the list?
Sure.
We figure if you've come this far to be here in Coal Creek Canyon, it's worth mentioning your name, acknowledging you.
Allison Elton from Australia.
Australia,
holy
wow,
smoke.
That's a long way.
Ow! Is that far away? And what kind of jet lag have you got, honey? Oh.
No, no jet. Well.
Where do you go home?
Yeah. Where do you go home?
It gets you on one end or the other.
Yeah.
Luke Lesage is back from B.C.
From Canada?
Luke? Yeah, there we go.
Luke, good to see you again. Yeah, I didn't know you were going to be here today. Good to see you. We saw you in Portland not too long ago, so good.
I'm here for the workshop.
Oh, for the workshop, yeah.
The
we're going to talk about that. Great, great.
And Miramana, Gabriela Contreras.
Ah, Gabriela from Mexico.
The snow was for you.
Yes.
The snow was for you.
Yes.
Okay.
You look so glowing, Gabriela. I mean, just you look beautiful.
As always.
Yes.
Carol Alonzi, is that right? Hi.
Where's Carol from?
Arizona,
that's...
Well, actually, I'm up in Cheyenne right now, but West Coast, I claim the whole thing.
Okay.
Good for you.
Representing all of California today, yeah.
Hope Braden from California. Hello,
so nice
Hope.
Nice to see you.
Sarah Bierman from California.
Hi,
nice
Sarah.
To see
good to see you again.
Cynthia Collier from Florida. Ooh.
Hello.
She's trying to escape all the Coloradans going there for spring break.
Right. Come here.
Rhonda Dupree from Georgia. You're a long way, too. Wow.
Hi.
And Paula Burnt from Minnesota. Hi, Paula.
Hello. Kind of like Minnesota outside here, yeah.
Yeah, Kathy Cole from Nebraska.
Hello. Hi.
And Alina Oakley from Nebraska.
Hi.
Yeah. And our friend Annie Deegan, who made it up from New Mexico, huh? Did you drive?
I spent last night in Boulder.
Oh, you're
smart. Yes,
okay.
That's a good idea. Good to see you again,
nice
Annie.
You.
Yes. It is. All the little snow fairies are out today. They are. And some of them are here. In this room. David Knight stepped around back before. Wait till you hear the channel.
No more medication for you. Okay. Elizabeth Horan from New York.
Hey, Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth. Is this a crowd or what?
I know.
Wow. Rebecca DeBus.
From where?
Oh, I'm sorry, Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania.
Audubon, Pennsylvania. Liz Jansen from South Dakota.
Hello.
Where is she?
Right over here. First timer, yes.
Nice to see you. Stephanie Hammer from South Dakota. No,
yeah,
not you.
Yeah, raise your hand. Oh, she didn't. Oh, she's
not
here.
Okay, she didn't make it. Oh, sorry. Andrea Hammer. Oh,
yes.
Your sister didn't make it. Sorry. Okay. And then Deanna Marconi from Wyoming.
Didn't make it.
Oh, sorry.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
All right.
Well, maybe they're listening in.
Yeah, or something.
Yes.
And then there's kind of, you know, Ralph brought his son. I don't know what, you know.
Yeah, but he's not from out of town. First time here, though.
Yeah, but that's really special. It's a young person.
Yeah, I know. It's good. It's great.
You get all excited when I see a young person.
Yay!
Yay for young people.
Yes. It is, and it's wonderful. And I was reading lately, it's been in the news quite a bit, how young people are, younger people are...
Who did we miss?
No, we didn't. Okay, Paula from Minnesota again.
Edith, wake up.
Both of you are here. Both of you are here, Paula. You know, you could work with Norma this week, pull those parts back together. It's like... two Paulas back
Edith,
into one.
You're not supposed to sleep in.
Yes. Anyway, we have a lot to cover today.
Okay.
Let's start out with, what is Chambra? People all the time ask, well, what is Chambra? Where did this word come from? You have to join a club. Tobias came up with this word way back in the beginning. He said basically it means It's just us. There's nothing to join. We've all been going through many, many lifetimes of experiences together. We're all part of the Crimson Council on the other side, the Crimson Circle here on Earth. Chamber is a word that was originated, he said, about 2,000 years ago. It meant family of the rock or family of unity. And it was interesting just being in Israel. It's kind of a Hebrew-sounding word, Chamber. And I forgot what they said the actual translation is, but it's pretty close to what Tobias said if you break the words down. Shaham, Barah. Notice I picked up a little Yiddish while I was over there. Oy vey. But anyway.
I thought you stuck out like a sore thumb, but that's okay.
I did. Yeah. We'll talk about that when we show the slides. But anyway, Chamber is family, spiritual family. We're all going through so many of the same type of experiences together, a spiritual awakening. So that makes us family. We work together. We play together. We connect in our dream states. And we connect like this when we're on the air, connecting with Chamber all over the world or right here in Coal Creek Canyon. What we're really sharing is the experience of life on Earth. We're all angels. We've come here to manifest in biological form and to experience what it's like to bring matter to life. It's about experience. So, last month, Tobias talked about imagination. That was Shoud 8. And, you know, I remembered so little of this Shoud until I reread it yesterday in preparation for the meeting. It's like, wow, there's
a lot
of good stuff in there.
There actually was.
Yes. So we're going to go through it just to remind you, because I know a lot of people forget from one month to the next. So we just do this little reminder if you're listening in online. This is what Tobias talked about last month. Linda is going to play the part of Tobias here.
And it's pretty hysterical,
She's going to read quotes from Tobias, believe it or not. I'm going to offer my interpretation. So here we go. Last month, Tobias said,
"So here you are on Earth in this year of 2004. Wa are here?"
David, would you come up here a minute? We need to have you read. You're right. That's what the slide says. You know, Tobias tries to have rapport with us as a group.
And sometimes with certain
groups, he was trying to have rapport here with the Texans, and we lived in Texas for a long time. Why are I here? I ponder that question all my days. Why are I here?
That's okay. What I thought I was going to ask you about, and I thought, no, it's a Texan.
I think that line was from the movie Deliverance, actually. Why are I here? Oh. You know,
this isn't going anywhere.
David started it. Yes.
Tobias
literally told me just as we were starting.
My ears are burning.
Tobias said there's a lot of first-time people listening in today. First time ever.
Oh, this is a good start.
So we have a little typo in the script. So Linda's reading literally, but let's redo that. Let's start from the beginning, but read it like it should be.
So here you are on Earth in this year of 2004. Why am I here? You ask so often. What is this lifetime about? What is the specific time about? What comes next? Why do I feel like I are waiting?
Oh my gosh. The good news. Oh. Stop that. The good news is that everybody's relaxed. The bad news is we have 64 slides to get through. And I don't know what happened last night after I worked on these slides. Something happened.
Were you playing country western music or something?
I don't know. But that's... When I proofed these last night, I swear, it was not on there.
Right.
Something has gotten into the computer system.
Okay.
I'm not going to comment on this slide. We're going to move right along. Go ahead.
Okay. You are here, quite simply, to experience life.
Ah, there you go.
Let's read that again.
Okay.
You are here, quite simply, to experience life. Can you allow it to be that simple? You are here to experience life, anything you want. You're here on Earth right now to experience, to feel, to learn, to know what it's like to live, to live. It's that simple. You don't have to make it complex. You are here simply to experience. There.
We made it. Spy is the thing here. We try to make this whole thing so complex. The meaning of life and why are we here? And we get caught up with this whole karma thing. And you know, it must be either some type of punishment or something we have to do. Or the other one is this big thing, you know, it must be my contract that I worked out before I came into this lifetime. That's why I'm suffering. Tobias says, it's real simple. Very, very simple. You're here to experience life. You're here to be a creator. You're here to have the joy of laughing together in a room like this. Feel what that's like. Here to experience the beautiful snow outside. Here to experience everything, the good and the bad. So don't make it real complex. You're here to experience what it's like to have brought matter to life, he went on to say.
But all that changes now in this lifetime. In this lifetime, you actually can enjoy life.
He had been referring, and as he was talking here about the whole thing about karma and the suffering and contracts, and then he moved into this slide.
The journey ends. Now you can sit down at the feast of life. You can enjoy everything from the foods to the relationships to taking a walk in the woods or along the beach. You can enjoy what it's like just to live. Just to live. You're here to experience life and to enjoy life.
This whole thing that Tobias has talked about with the journey ends, I think that was a couple of months ago, basically means that this long journey for discovery, to find out who we are, to integrate the divine, that all that searching stops. It ends. There doesn't have to be any more suffering. There doesn't have to be a salvation. There doesn't have to be this old belief in duality and sin and guilt. The seven seals, we open them up now. And when we do, it's about enjoying life. It's about everything, like Tobias said, it's about food. Enjoying the food, you know. We have some really funny belief systems in food. And we've been so programmed into it, we don't even realize it. We buy into this diet stuff. You know, it's what Tobias says about diet. Look at the core word, die. Killing your body. Enjoy the food. Tell the food to provide you with enough of the nutrients and to sustain your physical body, and the rest can be spent energetically or in other ways we won't talk about. But enjoy the food. Enjoy a glass of wine. I've had many people while we're on the road come up to me and say, oh, I can't believe you're a spiritual person and you're drinking wine or you're drinking...
Well, it's because you always have two, one for you and one
for Tobias. I know. He insists. Or people say, I can't believe, as I'm holding my hand now, I can't believe you're drinking a diet cola. You know, it's all that bad stuff.
Why don't you say Pepsi, because that's what you prefer. Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares.
With lemon. And, you know, it's all about what you want to believe. Enjoy the food. Tell your body, don't make me fat. I don't need the fat anymore. I don't need those layers of protection. You can get rid of it. We don't need to put in all that padding and all those walls. And then you know, really can enjoy the food again, enjoy a glass of wine, enjoy our relationship, enjoy taking a walk, enjoy just being here together today and looking out the window and seeing the beautiful snow. It's about enjoying life, he went on to say.
Most humans don't go through the things in their mind that you go through. Carl was chuckling here, calling I, Tobias, master of the obvious. What goes on in the minds and hearts of most other humans is not like what you go through. They don't have the same questions. They don't have the same challenges. They don't have the same dreams and desires as you do.
I know a lot of times we think we're a little different, a little odd. Probably felt that way since you were very young. And Tobias says it's actually true. He says the things you think about, the things you ponder, the things that go through your mind are not what most people go through, believe it or not. He says you're working at other levels. You're working interdimensionally. You're really pushing the envelope on things. He said the average person on the street today doesn't consider all these things. That's why sometimes they look at you like you're really weird. I mean, you know, most people are considering the very immediate things. You know, their finances, their you know, home life, things like that. Where Chambra, light workers in general, tend to ponder the bigger things, tend to really push, wanting to discover, wanting to find out. So Tobias is saying, you know, you've thought all your life you're different. You've been trying to conform with everyone else. Forget it. Forget about it. You are different in the fact that you're on a very sincere and very deep spiritual journey. So could you accept that about yourself and stop trying to be normal? You never will be.
Some of you have found this out the difficult way when you've gone to counselors who don't understand the nature of new energy spirituality. They try to handle you with old methods, and it becomes frustrating for both of you. They don't understand what is taking place inside you. You're like the caterpillar in the cocoon going through hell, going through the transformation. They don't understand.
It was interesting. I'm sure a lot of people here have had that experience. You go to a counselor or to a minister or somebody trying to get some help to understand why are you going through all this stuff in your life and in your mind, and why does everything seem so out there sometimes? And you go to a counselor, but if they don't understand the spiritual awakening, the new energy, they're going to look at you kind of strange, and they're going to put you on some meds. And, you know, it really is quite sad that there's not a lot of new energy counselors or teachers, more and more showing up all the time. But the typical type of counselor really doesn't understand. Tobias is trying to make a comforting point here and saying, again, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just that the ones you're trying to get help from don't really understand. He went on to say,
you are teachers above all. On this side of the veil, the title of teacher is the grandest of all. There is no title, there is no name, there is no role that is grander than teacher.
Tobias has said from the very beginning that we're here in this lifetime by our choice to be teachers. We've chosen to go through very, very intense, sometimes difficult, and sometimes very sacred experiences so that we can then be the teachers for others. He says that, you know, we're among the first to be going into the new energy. And what a teacher is really, it would be more my definition of a pioneer. You go into something brand new, you learn about it, and then you go share what you've learned, share that wisdom with others so they can have their own experience, but without all the difficulties and hardships. That's what a teacher is. That's what we're here for. It's not about you anymore. It's not about you. It's about going through the experience so you can be here to help the millions of others who are going to be going through or are going through a spiritual awakening. They're going to need a guide, the type of guides we really didn't have, a human guide to help through the process. He went on to say,
the question for you when you get out of bed each morning is, how will I choose to teach today? You see, you're teaching whether you are aware of it or not. The others are watching you. The others challenge you at times. Not just to give you a hard time, but they want to find out what you're made out of. They want to find the depth and the conviction in your soul.
I love that line. When you get out of bed in the morning, how will I choose to teach today? And the definition of teacher, again, is far broader than somebody who stands in front of a class and dictates things or goes through very rote type of learning programs. He's saying here a teacher is by example. We go out into the world, and we do get challenged by people at times. They really challenge us, sometimes in rather insidious ways. They ridicule or make fun of or roll their eyes or talk behind their back. But Tobias is saying, actually, what they're really doing is they're testing your grit. They're testing how deeply do you really believe in yourself and believe in the things that you talk about. So they'll kind of poke and prod. They're not really doing it to be cruel. They're really doing it to see how much of a teacher and how much of a human angel are you.
Sometimes they just want to see if it's real. They really want to just see if it's truly real.
Well, yeah, and I've noticed that a lot of times when people are talking about religion or philosophy, a lot of times you can just feel it. It's coming from their head, and they're just reciting nice little cliches and rote theories that aren't really their own. They read it somewhere, and you can kind of tell that, and everybody can tell that. So I think what they're trying to find out from us, is this something you read? Is this something that you have truly integrated in your life, or are you just reciting it because it sounds good? So I think they're really kind of poking and prodding to find out, is this your conviction or not? I noticed a huge difference when I'm talking to non-Chamber people. When I say, well, Tobias said, you can almost feel them, like, go away energetically. They leave. They're like, oh, yeah, here's another crackpot, you know. But versus saying it from my heart, here's what I found out. And then they listen a lot closer. But it's like, you know, it's like religious zealots. It's like, well, so-and-so said, or, you know, it's in the scriptures, or they're not owning it. Tobias says it's about us owning it, and people will test us to find out
coming from your heart.
If we really do. He went on to say,
each morning, ask yourself, how will I teach today? How will I share this gift of life? How will I share the simplicity and the wonders of life here on earth? How will I share the freedom that I have within my soul, knowing that Spirit loves me for everything I have ever done unconditionally?
Again, I don't need a lot of words here. It's just that wonderful thing in the morning, wake up. How will I teach today? How will I share this gift of life? You know, it removes this whole thing about life being about you or life being a punishment. It's not about you anymore. It's like, wow, how will I enjoy life and share that with others? Real simple.
Oh, on to our guest.
Yes.
Okay. We know today's guest by the name of Miriam, a dear one who comes from the lineage of Abraham, who was also known as Deborah, who led one of the 12 tribes of Israel, a great, great leader of man and woman. Miriam embraces the Kuan Yin energy and helps bring it to life. Miriam is a teacher, a disciple, an apostle who walked with Yeshua, for there had to be a feminine balance to Yeshua.
As you might remember, Tobias brought in guests. He always brings in guests. For those who are listening in for the first time, there's always usually brings in guests. When he doesn't, you know, we know we're in deep yogurt. But he always brings in an outside energy that's relevant to the shout or the channel that day. This time it was what he called Miriam, which is also known as Miriam or Mary Magdalene. And he said Miriam was more of the energetic name that she went by several thousands of years ago. So he brought Miriam in for a couple of reasons, because his channel was about the imagination. And he says Miriam is the real teacher of imagination, even taught Jesus, Yeshua, about it. But he was also bringing in Miriam just before we went to Israel. She was a big part of the energy when we went there. He went on to say,
they had to present her as the darkness, as the witch, as the whore. It is written that Yeshua had to drive 7 demons out of her. Dear friends, this is the furthest thing from the truth. Yeshua worked with her, and she with Yeshua, in helping to meld the energies of the 7 chakras together, to open these, as we do with you, the 7 seals, to release the old beliefs and energies behind them.
Tobias was saying there's so many misconceptions about Mary Magdalene. The church, the male-oriented church, had to present her as the whore, as the bad one, that Jesus...
Oh, the Catholics were up to something again?
Believe it or not. And that Jesus, you know, had to drive the demons out of her. And Tobias, you know, in a very loving and chuckling way, said this so far from the truth. It wasn't the demons that he drove from her. It was helping her to open the seven chakras, to unify them into one. It was opening those seven seals, even way back when. So he said, you know, she really served a beautiful and magnificent purpose, which I think he talks about. Yeah.
Okay, some of you literally worked with Myriam, went to her gatherings where she had you feel and hold the feminine energies. Some of you have been such holders of the energies, of these feminine energies, that you have never birthed a child of your own ever since. There was no place within your energetic being for children because you were holding a feminine energy for all of the rest until the time was right.
When Tobias was talking about this in the last shroud, I felt the emotion from Tobias and from Myriam and also the ones who were connecting here in the room or otherwise. A lot of emotions. He was saying that there's so many that have been holding the feminine energy ever since the time of Myriam and Yeshua, that they have chosen not to birth children in a whole series of lifetimes, and not just women, but some of the men who've been women, if that makes sense. But anyway, he went on to say, I think here, that you can let that go now. You can let that go. It's a whole new energy. You don't have to hold in that feminine energy anymore. It's blossoming all around the world right now. You don't have to be the protector anymore. He went on to say.
Well, you know, there's a segue. You should probably say that it completely changes tracks.
Oh, we're going through an excursion. Oh, yeah. What's the segue?
Well, how we go from Myriam to this?
Well, Myriam came in. He's going to talk about that.
Oh, okay.
When he gets into it.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay, so I go ahead?
Sure.
Okay. We had to go through our discussion last month
Why
about
Susan.
Why are
I here?
For if you weren't sure if you were choosing life and you tried to open up the imagination, you could have some very interesting repercussions. It could backfire on you, cause you physical and mental pain and difficulties. It was about asking you to make that choice so that we could move to this level. This is a different type of imagination.
If you remember 2 months ago, Tobias came in without a guest by himself and gave a pretty direct, pretty
That's
profound
a nice way for
channel.
It.
It was kind of rough, and he basically said, choose life or choose death. He said, you know, are you going to embrace life from here on? You're going to straddle the fence, not really sure. And he said, it's time. You have to make that decision if we're going to move forward in this energy. And it was, as I mentioned last month, we got a lot of rough email on that, followed by a lot of very nice email. People who were sitting on the fence saying, I don't really know if I want to be here right now. Tobias said, if you're going to move forward right now in this new energy and with what they have to share with us, through us, that you have to make that choice. Are you going to embrace life or are you just going to wait and see, you know, what life does to you? What was interesting, he's saying here, he's talking about imagination now, opening up a whole new energy of imagination. And he says, if you're not embracing life, and then you try to open up this new energy of imagination in your life, it could really backfire on you. It's like playing with fire. It's like playing with something very, very potent. So it's about embracing life. Then we could move forward. He went on to say.
When Myriam talked to Yeshua at the resurrection, she did it through her imagination. They questioned her afterwards and said, did you or did you not see Yeshua with your physical eyes? She said, it was not with my eyes, for they were closed. The light was so bright. I saw Yeshua with my heart. What she really said was, I saw Yeshua in my imagination.
So he brings in Myriam, Mary Magdalene, to our gathering last month, calls her the teacher of imagination. She actually taught Yeshua, taught Jesus about the imagination. And when the apostles later, after the Jesus was... you know, what do they do? Crucified, thank you. I forgot that word. I'm trying to take that out of my vocabulary. After he was crucified and he was resurrected, Mary Magdalene saw him. And later on, the apostles said, well, did you see Jesus with your eyes? They were looking for fact. You know, they wanted proof, tangible proof. Did you see him with your eyes? And she had to say, no, I connected with him through the imagination. They went on to quiz her and say...
They asked her, did you hear the teacher with your ears? And she said, my ears were ringing. They were vibrating, and the noise was so high and so beautiful that I could not hear his words through my ears, but I heard his words in my imagination.
Again, very interesting, getting away from the physical senses and the control that the mind has. And she says, I couldn't possibly hear him. It was so beautiful, so much ringing in my ears. You ever get that? I get
that.
It
would be a comfort for you, wouldn't it?
Yeah, oh, it would be, yes. Yeah, that I get this kind of like, yeah, thing in my ear. And she said, no, but I heard
is
his words
Tobias?
In my imagination. What's the energy of the room? He went on to say.
Okay. The disciple said, then indeed you did not see the teacher appear to you. And she said, indeed I did, for the imagination is greater. It's more potent and contains more reality than my eyes see and what my ears hear and what my senses feel. Thank you. Oh, that was a big sentence.
Yes.
Okay. And from then on, they believed her because she shared with them her energy, her truth, and her love at that moment, and
really,
they understood.
That's really a cool statement. She was saying that the imagination is far greater than what the mental reality can create, and she shared this energy with them. She tried to get them to understand, to open up the imagination. And she was able to convey that to them, and then they understood that she really had been with Tobias calls the teacher, or Yeshua. They understood that it transcends the eyes and the ears and the physical senses and the mind. This is all a warm-up for what Tobias is going to talk about here.
She became the teacher of imagination, the teacher of the unseen realms. She's been working with many of you in this lifetime, helping you to go into the unseen, helping you to use your imagination.
And she comes in now to work with us very intensely in this whole thing of opening the imagination energies. And she accompanied us to Israel, I assume here in the room today. But this whole area of imagination, you've been working with, you've been playing with it, but we go into a new level with it now, a whole new understanding of what imagination is and how it is more of a reality than even what we see or hear here.
When Kauldra contacts Tobias.
Kauldra.
There, was that better? Okay. When Kauldra contacts Tobias, and when we speak to you like this, it is not through his mind.
The mind is a beautiful thing.
Yes. The mind is occupied right now with simply translating our energies. Very occupied. It's not necessarily what you would call through the heart. It is through a thing called the imagination.
So when I work with Tobias, when I channel Tobias, he says it's not through my mind. It's through the imagination. My mind is very tied up trying to take in all of the thoughts, all of the energies, and translate them into human words. The biggest frustration with doing this, with channeling, is that the human words, English language in particular, is so very limited. There's these concepts that are coming through, and I'm trying to take what Tobias is saying and the concepts and thoughts and put them into word and meld them together. It's so difficult, and my mind is very tied up trying to get the right words. But Tobias said he's really working with me and with everyone else through the imagination. He went on to say,
imagination, it's the image of come into reality. If that strikes a chord, it is written in the scriptures that you were created in the image of God. Imagine that. Imagine you, God also, imagining this place called Earth and then manifesting it. Imagining a thing called the human body and manifesting it. All of this has come as a result of imagination. Imaging.
Yeah.
Is that what
kind
you
of
mean?
A mouthful. Kind of a mouthful.
Yeah,
there.
Really,
but basically,
is.
You know, the line in the scriptures that says, and God created man in his image. Well, first of all, I think it was man and woman. But it didn't mean literally. It didn't mean like God sitting up there with a body and a long beard and everything else. It was that spirit imagined, and then it became. We imagined when we were in the void. We imagined filling the void with energies, ultimately leading to planets, universes, galaxies, ultimately leading to this place called Earth, ultimately to having a body. God imagined, and then it became. He created us in his image, or
so
we created ourselves.
Do you really mean imaging or imagining?
Imaging. imaging. Yeah, it's imaging. You're imaging or imagining something. Imagining. Why are I here? I could be at home having a Budweiser. Why are I here?
Well, I technically can have some sense of why it could be either. It just was awkward.
It was very awkward.
Okay.
It was imaging, imagining, in the image of. Go ahead.
Imagination is like a dream state. There are feelings, colors, reactions, consequences, directions, more potentials within each potential. You have all these potentials to choose from. They reside in the imagination. What would you like to imagine for yourself? Which script do you want to bring into your life?
So it's like we have all these potentials in a dream state, in an etheric state. And Tobias is saying, which ones do you want to choose? What do you want to bring in to your reality? He's going to talk today more about imagination and get a little bit more refined about it. But basically, it's like you know how we dream? It's all potentials. Which one do you choose to bring in to your reality?
Okay. The imagination is this whole creative area that's been shut down in the human condition, shut down within so many of you. You've been taught to think logical, taught that the imagination was for dreamers, not for doers. It is quite the opposite. That is why Myriam comes in today to energetically help share with you the great potential of the imagination.
Now, Tobias has been real big on this lately, yakking with me, saying that they're going to spend quite a bit of time on this whole area of imagination. It's been shut down for so very long. We think we use our imagination. Tobias says you haven't even started yet. It's this whole concept of, they say that we only use 10% of our brain, some of us less, but that it's really not about the brain. It's about opening other parts of us that have been shut down. Shut down because, for a lot of reasons, we were very focused on this material world, but also when you're using the imagination, your feelings are also open. And we all know what that's like to get the feelings attacked, and then you shut down, you go into your little shell, and you don't express anymore. So Tobias is saying, now that you're embracing life, it's time to open up and discover what imagination really is.
The imagination lies somewhere between the heart and the mind. Somewhere between the heart and the mind is the creative area. This area where you can explore potentials, daydream the potentials, and then bring them into your life. So many of you have been daydreamers ever since you came to Earth in this lifetime. You've been scolded, punished for it even.
I'm sure many of you can resonate with this. Daydreaming when you were a child and getting whacked upside the head or something. I was.
Is that when you started channeling?
Yes. Bam! Stop daydreaming. We were trained not to be in this imaginative area. It was actually, with young kids today, if we could encourage them, be daydreamers. Go out there, then bring it into this reality. But open up, daydream. And Tobias is saying, we saw you all get scolded, punished, beaten, or whatever for daydreaming. You gotta focus on just this. Well, we shut down as a result of that. He's gonna work with us in opening up again. This next point is important.
The imagination is not mind control. It is the antithesis of mind control. The mind needs to get out of the way for the imagination to go to work. The imagination is not visualization. Visualization, as you know it, is a function of the mind. So many of you have taken courses in mind control and visualization. There were good at the time.
They were good at the time.
But it's time to move beyond that.
Yes, I don't know who got hold of this script last night.
No more Texans.
Oh, boy. Tobias is saying here that imagination is not mind control. It goes far beyond the mind. It's not about the visualization that so many of us learned about, where you are taught to focus and visualize. He goes, quite the opposite. You have to let go of that old thing. It's not even in the mind realm anymore. So it's not visualization, not mind control. And I hope he talks more about that today.
And by the way, I have such bad jet lag. I actually marked both those as little typos, but I thought, no, I trust Jeff. I just must be jet lagged.
It's too much fun to read them. Go ahead.
After giving an example of imagination, did you have one to share?
I don't know. Oh, he took us through a little exercise, thank you, of going into the imagination, a little guided meditation type of thing, guided imagery. So he took us through that and then said,
it's the imagination, but it is real. As Myriam taught the disciples, it's more real than human reality. Your society teaches you to discard, to discredit the imagination. It is time to give it back its rightful place.
So he took us through a brief little exercise, and I forgot exactly what it was, but saying, here, we're going to use the imagination just to let you feel it. And he's saying, it is real. It is very real. It's adding another dimensional aspect to your life. It is real.
Imagine the potential of the healthy, balanced body. Choose it, breathe it in, and give it life. You don't have to go through the details. You don't have to be a doctor, a scientist, or a PhD to know what happens as you breathe in this energy. It knows what to do. That's simply your mind wanting to take control once again. Your heart knows what to do. Your soul knows what to do.
So he's saying, in terms of imagining the healthy body, you just imagine the energy of your healthy body. And you don't have to go into the details. You don't have to go know, you know, all the ins and outs of biology and science and all these other things. Your heart and your soul and your body know what to do. So you're imagining, you're feeling the energy of your healthy body. You take a deep breath, bring it into your life. Don't worry about the details. We get all caught up, well, you know, but I should know exactly what needs to be adjusted where. Your body knows how to handle itself. So it's an example of imagination at work, bringing it into a healthy body.
Tell your mind to back out of the way. You're going to play with this thing called imagination. You're going to learn how to bring it in to manifest in your life. You're going to learn how to use it. You're going to learn how to grow with it. Your mind doesn't need to control. When you breathe in the imagination, whatever it is you choose to imagine, it is so very powerful.
Again, let the mind get out of the way. We've gotten into this whole thing of mind control and that we have to focus on every little detail. He's saying, let the mind get out of the way. Just take a deep breath. Bring it into reality. You don't have to go into the details. He went on to say,
breathe in the imagination, whatever you choose to imagine, and then give it its own life. Let it take its own direction. Observe. Watch what happens. If you decide at any point this wasn't the appropriate thing, or you're tired of this imagination that you brought in, simply let it go. Take it out of reality. You created it. You can eliminate it. But don't try to control it as it goes to play in your life.
This is a really important and a very simple point. You create something in the imagination. You breathe it into your reality. And then you let it go. You give it its own life. You see, we want to try to control everything, but it's like the flower opening up. Give it its own life. You created it, but you want to let it be free. You want it to allow it the expression that it wants to have. And again, we tend to want to control it and make demands of it. Tobias is saying, imagine it, breathe it in, let it have its life. And if you don't like it, he said, whoops, I didn't mean to imagine that. He said, brought it in. You can simply let it go. You can take it out of reality. So, don't try to control it. He went on to say,
what's the difference between imagination and delusion? Not much. Not much at all. Those who you call delusional are highly imaginative. It's about bringing back into your life what is appropriate, what fits, what you choose, you see.
Here's this whole issue come back now about embracing life when Tobias was saying, do you choose life? Do you want to live? He was actually doing that to set an energy so when we open up to imagination that you were balanced and focused in this reality, in this now moment, so you can open up the imagination. Without that balance, you're delusional. You start... You're working from an imbalanced place of imagination rather than a balanced, embracing life place. So here's where he kind of ties it all together. Not much difference, though, between imagination and delusion.
Mm-hmm. When you're out in the imaginative realms, take a deep breath and ask yourself what suits you in your life right now. What do you choose to bring back? What do you choose to live? How do you choose to embrace life? What type of balance do you want? What type of teacher are you going to be? What are you going to teach today? That is the difference between imagination and delusion. How appropriate is it for you?
Imagination and delusion. How appropriate is it for you? What do you choose to experience coming from a very balanced place? Oh, that's
wow.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Billy Bob's gone.
We got through that. Yeah. Why are I here? One of the great questions of the universe. Yeah. Why are I here? You could have corrected that, you know, even though that's the way it was written.
I did, but I didn't want to be disrespectful.
Right. Why are I here? Okay. Recent Chambra gatherings. Since we met last time, we put on a few miles and seen a lot of Chambra. We were in Washington, D.C., February 13th through the 14th. Gosh, that was a long time ago. 3 weeks ago?
It was Valentine's, honey.
Valentine's, honey. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was a fun workshop. It was hosted by Deborah Hackett and Pete Cassio, both who are listening in today, I can feel. I have a couple of shots from the workshop. They all look the same, though. A group of people sitting there, Linda and I sitting there. So, actually, I featured Linda in this one.
That's scary.
Here's Linda. Oh, what are you doing? Oh, fine. Okay. But
talking about how big.
What is difficult to show here is the great time that we have talking and chatting, going out to dinner, talking in between, and a lot of the open sessions we have, where it's just a discussion of what it's like to be Chambra right now. We had about 50 or 60 people.
It was a nice group.
It was a very nice group. Yeah. Washington was an interesting area to be in.
Right.
Tobias said there was definitely an energetic connection between Washington and Israel. So he was kind of getting us ready to go over there.
He said there was no coincidence in that schedule.
No coincidence. Mm-hmm. These are generally two-day workshops, and we talk about a lot of things. We have several channels. Generally, there's two or three channels. Mm-hmm. We always open up with a channel. We found that, Tobias wants to come in right away. Everybody wants to hear Tobias. So on these two-day workshops, it generally starts with a channel. We generally go through the seven seals. Tobias generally changes whatever we had scheduled. Always changes.
Pretty much requires us to do it in the now.
Yeah. But anyway, it was nice being back in Washington.
Yes, it was.
We got back home, packed our bags, and took off for Israel. We had, 3 days back home? It was unbelievable. To kind of put it in perspective, at the end of the channel on the last day, I was a combination in fear and in tears. Because Tobias was saying that he and I had fulfilled our agreement with each other, that I would come in and channel Tobias,
what
bring him.
What do you think the chances are he's going to show up today?
I don't know. 50-50. It was so incredible. And I know I'm starting at the back of the end of the weekend there.
Okay.
But Tobias said that he and I had an old agreement, and we would do work, and he and I would go back to Israel, back to the Holy Land, do something there energetically, which we'll talk about in a minute, and then we fulfilled our contract. I was sitting in the chair channeling this, but I'm really listening to Tobias, and the words are going, I'm like, oh, my God, we just came to the end of the road. I mean, Tobias is going to go out now. I had to go over
and make sure you didn't just poof.
I know. And it's like, we're done. This is it. You know, well, now what? You know, and it was overwhelming, though, but because it was a fulfillment and a completion. And it was like, oh, my gosh, I remembered the agreement that he and I had from way back when. And it's like, we did it. You know, we really did it over those years of some difficult years in this. I'm wondering what the heck I'm doing. And this is the last thing in the world I thought I'd be doing. No, but we did it. We fulfilled something together, and it was awesome. And
it was touching.
Tobias, you know, at that point said, you know, we can go anywhere you want with this. You know, we can go to a whole new level. We can end right now. But we made it. And it was.
So this could be interesting today.
Could be. But anyway, it was in a sense a wonderful relief, and I know it marked the beginning of something new, but it was also a little sad. It was like, wow, okay. I mean, so anyway,
you shared that touching moment with the whole
with everyone. We were there for 9 or 10 days total. Went in and did a little sightseeing. We'll tell you about that in just a second. That was interesting. This event was hosted by Joseph. Or Yossi Ronan. Joseph has been here in the States and to these meetings a number of times. A lot of you know him. Thank you, Joseph. You did an awesome job.
Yana, too.
And I was going to mention Yana, Joseph's girlfriend. Yana held in the feminine energy and a fun energy and a very energetic energy. So thank you. And thank you to all of Chambra and Israel for treating us so well, almost spoiling us, treating us just magnificently.
They were warm and wonderful.
Warm and wonderful, and hugs and passion, and I'm still tingling from it. So I'm going to take you through all of our slides now. We got in to Israel, got into Tel Aviv, and okay, we go to the hotel because we were tired. Joseph dropped us off. We had a bite to eat and went to bed. It was, you know, late at night.
Are we going to go to that kind of detail?
Just to open this up. I'm studying.
Oh, my God. I'll come back in 10 minutes, okay?
Better make it an hour. Setting an energy. So the next morning, we got up. Linda was in the shower. I turned on CNN. You can get CNN just about anywhere. I like to see what's going on in the world. And it's like, oh, shit, what's going on in the world is going on right here. They had just, the Israelis had just killed Sheikh Yassin. And all my, I turned off the television. Linda was still taking a shower. Linda came out of the shower and she said, what's going on? Nothing. So when I went in to take a shower, I'm showering away, and all of a sudden that door flies open. You gotta watch CNN to see what's going on. They just killed this guy, and the Palestinians are gonna say it's gonna be the mother of all revengeance. You know,
that's what they said.
Oh my gosh! So Linda found out.
Earthquake of revenge.
I was hoping we could avoid that. So it was interesting. We went from there to now. Where would you go, considering that there's all this tension now? The Palestinians are claiming they're going to have this huge revenge.
Earthquake of revenge.
You're Americans. Where would you go?
Kill their holy
Jerusalem. Leader. Sure. Why not? Why not?
Divided into four sections,
yeah,
based on those.
And so we went to Jerusalem. It was fascinating.
And you know you're in trouble when the tourist guide is saying, could you hurry along? Maybe you should duck.
Yeah. Very small group we went with, and it was incredible. It was incredible because there was nobody around. You could have gone bowling in the old city. I mean, normally
incredible.
It's packed with tourists this time of the year. We're the only ones there, other than one group of Germans.
Yeah, wasn't that interesting? We were the only ones there. What did everybody else know that we didn't?
I don't know. They stayed home, but at least there were no lines, you know. They must have known something. Anyway, I have some shots here. I'll go through these quickly. On the left is a shot overlooking part of Jerusalem. We're right near the old city, you know, the gated city, the walled city.
I'd like to mention there also, this is a real fashion opening for Jeff, too. Well, you'll see.
Come me?
On. Yeah, yeah, for you.
No, I did not put that picture in there. So here, we saw some of the coolest sights, you know, the things you hear about and read about. And again, no lines. Everybody had stayed home.
Anybody with sense stayed home.
Yeah. David McMaster accompanied us on the trip, and here's a shot of David. Well, I forgot where that's at, but it's a church of some type.
Oh, a church.
It was interesting.
Oh, look at with that fashion accessory.
Yeah, yes, I have my
French fry cap on your
head. That's a popcorn hat. It's actually that's I had to actually it wasn't. It was in a Greek Orthodox. I think it was Greek Orthodox. You have to cover your head. Particularly if you're balding on top.
Yeah. It was David's tomb.
That is King David's tomb on the right. So on the left is just, you can see, ain't nobody around. That's a Arab guy, and he was the only one around.
And he was in the wrong part of town.
Right. I mean, it was quiet there, but it was fun. Again, on the left, another shot of the old city. It's really fascinating. There are layers of histories going back to the time of well, really back to the time of Abraham, but of King David, of Yeshua, all the wars that have been fought. You know, walking through the old city, and you can just feel all of the centuries and centuries of energies there. Shot of on the right of Joseph and Linda, right outside the walled city. There was security everywhere, guards everywhere, cameras everywhere. On the left here is the tomb of King David, and on the right again is just a shot of the city with the walled city.
I haven't been frisked that much since I was in high school.
Yeah, it's, that's true. just about everywhere we went, there was good security going into restaurants, buildings, churches, and you were always being scanned and
frisked
and stuff. But yet, you know, there was an underlying tension. But yet, with our group that we're with, I felt safe and comfortable. They were so good. There was a kind of a tension all around. Being an American, I'm not used to civilian citizens walking down the street with rifles strapped over their backs. Just not used to it. Sorry. They keep them hidden somewhere, so you don't know that they're there. Here in America, you hide them, but they're right out in the open. We did have a little time on the beach, as this shot shows. Linda and I, that's the Mediterranean there. It was beautiful. On the right is a shot of Caesarea, which is an old Roman ruins right on the ocean also.
At that same spot, really.
It was beautiful. It was built initially by the Phoenicians, and then Herod came along and really made it quite the place. I just shot a picture of a road sign. I thought that was interesting. How the heck do I know where I want to go? Can't even read that. We'll take the road to Tiberias. I could pronounce that. On the right is, again, some of the ruins from Caesarea, one of the Roman
amphitheaters.
I was amazed. They were really smart. I mean, knew how to build all these things. On the left is a shot of a mosaic in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre. This is where Jesus was buried, I think. It's the whole thing. I mean, you could see the tomb where they laid Jesus out.
Right.
You put your hand in this hole where they claimed the cross, Jesus' cross was. You put your hand in the hole to feel it. And, of course, my hand's down, and I think something's going to bite it, of course. So I asked the vice, I said, is this really where the cross was? And he said, no. Close by, that wasn't it. The place I felt the biggest energy hit was when we went into this this old building, went into this room. I didn't know what it was. We walked into this room, and it's like, oh, my gosh. And the energies were thick and wonderful. And then our guide said, this is the room where the Last Supper took place. Like, wow. My mom could see me now. It's like, oh, wow.
Your mom can see you now.
I know she can. Yeah, sorry, Mom. Okay, did too many slides there. We finally got to Haifa. We made it safely. By the way, we stayed at a kibbutz outside of Jerusalem. It was beautiful,
it was
wonderful,
fun.
And felt very comfortable there, being a little bit outside of the city, but great accommodations. And anyway, we finally got to Haifa. We had about 120 people at the workshop. It was incredible, just the reception from the Israelis. And again, all the Israelis listening in today, we love you, and we thank you. And it was a once-in-a-lifetime experience.
Really gratifying.
Just incredible. So here's a couple of shots just of the workshop so you can see what it looks like. It looks like here, doesn't it? Linda and I sitting up here goofing around. And Norma. They loved Norma.
Dr. Breath.
Yes, Dr. Breath and the Kuan Yin energy. And they just, I mean, they came up to Norma. She spoke several times during the workshop. They came up to her and said, could we meet with you like after hours and have a group gathering where you could talk about Kuan Yin and about all the energies? And it was just great. They loved you. They still love you. It was great. And it was all translated, which was very nice for me. It was translated real time. The Israelis and the others
simulcast
who didn't understand English had headsets on, so I had to talk a little bit slower. But instead of saying a few words, having it translated, saying a few words, translate, it was done very, very quickly. And our translator, Neva, did a beautiful job. She went for 2.5 days through the channels, through everything. She was worn out by the time.
By the way,
it was
one of the neatest things that we get to see, and we hadn't done this before, and it was kind of neat, was the people that had the simulcast. You know, they had the headphones on, so they're not hearing it live; they're hearing it through the headphones. And I was noticing how often they would deliberately pull their headphones off because you could tell they were trying to feel the direct energy of the voice in the room.
Yeah.
And that was kind of interesting to watch. I was curious to see if that would happen, and it did. It was sweet.
So it was great having the simulcast. Again, Norma with the group, and they were so loving and attentive, and it was magnificent.
That's Yana and Leander.
Yeah. There was a couple ladies that had their hair dyed red just for the occasion, and I had to get my picture with them, but they really did. They're so proud. You see, for Tobias, we got our hair dyed red, and it's like, cool. Cool, we might start a fashion trend here. Yeah. Of course, Linda had a little time to do some negotiating.
Oh, look, she's got your skirt on her head.
That was my skirt. She's wearing it. I caught Linda in a shop one day. Of course, there was like 15 of us that were out touring. We went to Galilee one day.
Tell about your skirt.
We're all waiting for Linda.
Tell
we're all sitting
your skirt.
In our. I had to.
Tell
when we
about
went
your
to
skirt.
The when we went to the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, it's run by the Greek Orthodox. They have control of it. Everybody, all the different groups have control of little things around town. And I walked in. Of course, I'm in my American shorts and my sneakers,
looking
and
Boulder,
looking
cool.
like a tourist, looking like a, yeah, just got out of Boulder. And they're like, no, you can't go in there with those ugly legs.
You ain't enough of a man.
Went on, no hair showing there. And it's like, wow. So I said to the rest of the group, no, go in, please. And they're like, no, we're going to wait for you. I said, no, go in. I'll stay here and suffer. And somebody said, well, we just run to a shop and get, a little thing to cover yourself with. And it's like all the shops were closed. And all of a sudden, this guy magically appeared and magically said for a magical amount of $20 that he could get me a skirt. So I had my
he laughed his ass off when he saw he had you wearing an Arab scarf.
And so I had my yarmulke on to cover my head, and then I had to wear my skirt. And I thought it looked rather fashionable. And then would you give that lady my skirt? Put this on your head. So anyway, yes, you brought this today. How nice. I'm going to channel in this.
Okay.
Yes. And nothing else.
Promises, promises.
Anyway, I had to.
Did you really pay
$20? I did. It was. I know. It was ridiculous. Don't. I did. The guy suddenly appeared. I think he's
You're
got.
You're only in the Church of the Holy Sepulchre once.
Yeah, I think he had a deal with the priests. It's like, okay, anybody who has shorts on, kick them out. Your idea was a donation. That's exactly how I looked at it.
Okay, move on.
Okay.
Well, over time.
Slides. Here we are at Galilee. Now, I'm not going to, how do I say this? I have always heard about the Sea of Galilee, right?
It's
a lake.
It's a singing song.
3 miles wide, about 12 miles long. It's a lake. So let's get this right. It's a lake. You're really using your imagination when you say
that
the Sea of Galilee. And here are the biblical stories. The storm comes up on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm imagining these waves 20 feet high. It's a lake.
And you're not so impressed that Jesus walked on those waters. Is that what you're trying to say?
So here are Linda and I sitting. We're at a little restaurant at a kibbutz right on the Sea of the Lake of Galilee. But it was beautiful. It was actually incredibly charming and beautiful. And you can just imagine back then Jesus walking on the water, and we tried, didn't work. And then this other shot here is while we're out touring, and we're with Moshi, who's our sponsor.
He's a Romanian sponsor.
Romania. 2 weeks from now we're going to be there. Yeah. So on the left here is a shot of some of us sitting in a cave right where Jesus did the fish and loaves trick. On the, well, it was, it's just a hill. It's not even marked, other than the Pope had been there, but there's a cave there, and we went and some of the monks come down and meditate in there, and Lada Shambra go there, beautiful energy. So we're there. And then the final shot is just a group of us near the Mount of, what do they call it? Where Jesus brought in the divine energy, the Mount of, not Mount of, but the Mount of Transfiguration. I can never say that word.
Transfiguration.
The Mount of Transfiguration, which we had just come from there. So it was It was incredible. I mean, it was, the whole trip was phenomenal. Here's my promotional message now. Do you have a copy of this? Yes, hold up a copy. We got back Tuesday. We went like heck the last couple days.
Man?
All right, Linda went like heck the last couple days. And we put together, there were four channels throughout the weekend and some other stuff, but four channels that we have digitized. But they're available. If you'd hold that case up one more time, they're in a beautiful case that I cranked to do the artwork myself. Sure. But there's four CDs on the inside. The first CD was the first night. It was an amazing channel. And Tobias brought in all of the energies that were our guests. We had Michael, Gabriel, Raphael, Isis, Kuan Yin, and Myriam. So it was like we had this amazing assemblage of guests. And he started doing the first channel on the first night. And at the end, he said, we're going to bring all of our voices together. And they did this thing. It was almost poetic, but he kept on repeating, hear our words, O Israel, something, something, something. I forgot. But it was like, oh, it was like really powerful, really powerful.
It was strong.
Very strong. Next day, he talked about Hapuru, the history of the Jews. He called the Jews a group who had been together long before Earth. They went by the name of Hapuru. And he talked about how they got together in the first place, how they had been together on Earth, particularly in the times of Atlantis, how they had gotten together in Israel now, kind of the history of the Jews since way, way back when. It was fascinating to listen to. He came up with this word Hapuru, which sounded to me like a Native American word, you know, like an Indian name. Later, some of the Israelis came up to me and said, well, you know, back in ancient Egypt, they traced the lineage of the Jews back, and way, way back then, they were thought to be called Haburu. And I'm like, well, that's pretty darn close, Hapuru and Haburu. So it's like, okay. But it's a fascinating channel. Then we did a Schomburg questions and answers. Some of the best questions I've ever heard during a Q&A session.
It was a long Q&A, too.
Long Q&A. And then finally, there was a closing channel that the last afternoon of the last day. So they're available today. Linda and Susie worked like heck to get them together. And I think we have the sets. We have a limited number of sets today over here. Okay. I'll make this very quick. Upcoming Schomburg gatherings next weekend, right here in Denver, Crimson Circle School 1. What it's like to leave home, go through the wall of fire, that whole thing. It's a fascinating very intense three-day school. It will be here. We still have openings, plenty of openings. It's a small group, the smallest one we've ever had for the school, about 30 people. So you'll get a lot of close-up and personal time together with each other and with the staff. Weekend after that, we have 2 weeks from tomorrow, we're going to be in Bucharest. This is one of the trips Tobias volunteered us for. Said yes. Pahrumpf, Nevada, and Bucharest. Tobias said,
in Israel.
No, not yet. Oh,
that was
he pushed Israel.
That
right.
Wasn't on request.
We're going to do a day of healing. This will be a whole different type of program that we're doing. Moshe Zamirovich is our host and sponsor. Now, Moshe's telling us we're going to have 500 to 700 people at this. So it's going to be a big event. We will record it and make that available. But 2 weeks from now, Bucharest. So get your luggage ready, Linda. We're going from there to Kristiansand, Norway, for a two-and-a-half-day workshop with Jan Johansson and Norway Schombro. So it'll be a lot of air miles. Jan, we're looking forward to seeing all of you up there. It'll be great. Then we go from there to Nassau, the Bahamas, for a Your God Also workshop hosted by Joseph Darville and the Bahamian Chambra. That'll be a good one. I'm really looking forward to that. And then from there to Kauai for Crimson Circle School 2. Now, we call this a school, but it's really...
No, we didn't call it a school. Tobias did.
We would call it a retreat because it's a wonderful schedule. Some of you that are here today went there. We have morning sessions, and in the afternoon we take off and go play. Tobias gives us homework, but it's fun homework. It's 4 days We'll start out on Sunday night with a group dinner, and then 4 days of channeling, camaraderie, having fun. So it's, even though Tobias called it a school, it's really very relaxing, very different than school one.
It's a retreat study.
It's a lot of fun. Then we're going to do the You Are God Also workshop here in Denver in mid-June, June 12th to the 13th, because so many people here were saying, we've gone all over the world doing this. Well, how about right here in Denver? It's like, well, come on, join us in the Bahamas. Well, you know, come on. Okay, and then finally, the Midsummer New Energy Conference in Santa Fe in mid-July. We'll have more details out on this.
Yeah, right away, because we've been really slow on telling people about it, and it's shaping up to be a nice event.
We have a nice lineup.
Yeah,
quite a few channelers. Yeah, mm-hmm. Going to have some very interesting speakers.
Abundance presentation.
We're going to do a side trip to Bandolera, and then we're also trying to arrange for the Santa Fe Opera. Mm-hmm. So it'll, again, be a lot of good stuff. Okay, we're wrapping it up here now. You can please do check out the new Chambre directory that Michelle McHale put together. It's on the Crimson Circle website. There's dozens and dozens of different channelers, facilitators, healers, products, and if you have something you want to list there, it's free. It's a Chambre directory. It's a great place to go and find everything from people who specialize in kitchen cabinetry to people who are channelers. So it's the whole spectrum. It's a new energy.
What you're saying is you didn't put a lot of limits on it.
We didn't put any limits. It's a new energy directory. And then, oh, we've got a quick reminder on the monthly meetings. We're filling up here. You know, we can only accommodate about 120 guests. A lot of people still think, well, I'll just show up. We're going to charge more if you do, I'm sorry to say, and we may have to turn you away. So please register in advance. We have to keep a head count here for
fire laws,
fire codes, and everything else. So please register in advance. And
don't want you to be disappointed.
Finally, last but not least.
Oh, wow. Isn't that great?
For those who are listening in online, not looking, there's a photo here of Pete Cassio, who handles our foreign translations on the website. He's holding a license plate, a real license plate that he took off his car.
His license plate.
His license plate. And a license plate is the state of Virginia, and it says, it's spelled out, U-R-G-O-D, and then the letter 2. You are God, too. He has this on his car driving around. I mean,
Washington, D.C.
Yeah. So the slide is titled A License.
Hey, Pete, huh?
A License to Be God. All right, Pete. You the man, Pete. You the man. So with that one final note, I want to thank everyone who supports the Crimson Circle through donations, contributions. I don't like to spend a lot of time talking about this, but it does cost about $5,500 a month just to do what we do. Linda and I don't take any money out of that, but it costs a lot of money. We're almost at break even. We're running about $500 a month short. We're getting there. Your support is so appreciated. I just want to cry. If you've thought about doing it and haven't, now I sound like an NPR commercial.
Yes, you do.
If you thought about donating, if you listen to these channels and you thought about it, now's the time to get out your checkbook, get out your wallet, call this 800 number.
There's
no 800 number. Go to the website. Thank you. Thank you for your donations. Oh, now we can take a break. Go to the bathroom, guys.
All right. Oh.